Welcome to the Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and with me, as always, is my co-host. Today, we're looking at a pretty massive shift in how tech giants are justifying layoffs, with Cloudflare pointing directly at the agentic AI era as the reason for cutting a fifth of their staff.
It's a stark warning sign for the industry, especially after the conversations we've been having lately about AI displacement. We are also tracking a huge cyber extortion situation hitting the education sector right in the middle of final exams.
Yeah, the Canvas Learning Management System breach is an absolute mess. We'll get into the details of the ransom demands and what data was actually taken.
Plus, we've got a look at why security researchers are telling developers to just stop installing new software for a week following the copy.fail vulnerability.
A lot of ground to cover today, so let's jump right into the deep dives. Let's start with a massive shakeup at Cloudflare. They are laying off more than 1,100 employees, which represents about 20% of their global workforce.
And the reasoning they're giving is what really caught our eye here. They aren't calling this a standard cost-cutting measure. In their internal memo, they explicitly cited the need to restructure for the agentic AI era.
Right. They're framing it as a strategic pivot to an AI-first operating model. Cloudflare claims that their internal use of AI has increased by more than 600% in just the last 3 months.
That 600% figure is staggering. But we have to ask the hard question here. Is this genuine, measurable efficiency that allows them to operate with 20% fewer people? Or is this AI washing to soften the PR blow of a massive layoff?
It's a debate the market is actively having right now, because despite Cloudflare beating their first quarter earnings expectations, their stock actually plummeted. It fell roughly 19% in extended trading right after this announcement.
A 19% drop is brutal. I think investors are looking at the financial realities of this pivot. The restructuring is expected to cost between $140 million and $150 million in the second quarter of 2026.
Exactly. You're telling the market, hey, we're so efficient now because of AI that we can cut a fifth of our staff. But first, we need to take a $150 million hit to make it happen. Wall Street hates that kind of short-term uncertainty, even if the long-term narrative sounds innovative.
And it ties perfectly into what we discussed a few days ago regarding Sam Altman's warnings. He explicitly said that tech-related job displacement is on the way, and that companies shouldn't hide behind AI washing. Cloudflare is stepping right into the crosshairs of that debate.
To play devil's advocate, if there is any company positioned to actually replace human workflows with agentic AI, it's an infrastructure company like Cloudflare. They manage massive, complex network routing, security rule generation, and tier one support. Those are areas where autonomous agents excel.
I agree with that. The technical capability is there. If an AI agent can monitor global traffic anomalies and automatically deploy mitigation scripts without human intervention, you suddenly need a lot fewer network engineers on call.
But 1,100 people is a huge chunk of institutional knowledge walking out the door. If those agents hallucinate or fail during a major internet outage, the remaining 80% of the staff are going to be under immense pressure.
That's the risk of the agentic AI era they're touting. You're trading human resilience for automated efficiency. And if this works, if Cloudflare's margins improve next year without a drop in service quality, every other tech CEO is going to use this exact playbook.
Which makes this a massive bellwether for the industry. We are moving from AI as an assistant to AI as a direct replacement for headcount, justified openly in earnings reports. It's a fundamental shift in corporate strategy.
Moving on to cybersecurity, we have a massive situation unfolding in the education sector. The hacking group Shiny Hunters has claimed responsibility for a massive breach of Instructure, the parent company of the Canvas Learning Management System.
And the scale of this is hard to overstate. They are alleging they stole 3.65 terabytes of data. We're talking about 275 million records from nearly 9,000 educational institutions.
The timing is what makes this so critical. On May 7th, 2026, the Canvas login page was actually defaced with a ransom message. This is right in the middle of final exam season for almost every university and K-12 district in the U.S.
It's a nightmare scenario for school administrators. The hackers threatened to leak the stolen data if a settlement wasn't reached by May 12th. That forced some institutions to delay exams, while others temporarily blocked access to the platform entirely out of an abundance of caution.
Instructure did come out with a statement clarifying what was actually taken. They confirmed the breach involved names, email addresses, student ID numbers, and user messages.
But crucially, they said they found no evidence that passwords, dates of birth, government identifiers like social security numbers, or financial information were compromised.
Which is a relief, but having student messages and IDs out there is still a massive privacy violation. Instructure also identified the entry point for the breach. It was linked to their free-for-teacher accounts.
Right, and they subsequently shut down that entire tier to restore platform access. It really highlights the systemic risk of centralized infrastructure in education. When 9,000 schools rely on a single vendor, a vulnerability in a free tier can compromise the data of millions of paying students.
It changes the whole risk profile. Individual schools don't have the resources to defend against top-tier hacking groups, so they outsource to a central vendor like Instructure. But that makes the vendor a massive, lucrative target.
And Shiny Hunters is known for aggressive extortion tactics. They claimed they were ignored after the initial breach, which is why they resorted to publicly defacing the login page.
That's a classic escalation. If the company tries to quietly patch the vulnerability and ignore the ransom, the attackers go loud to force their hand, especially when they know the disruption will cause maximum pain, like during finals week.
It puts Instructure in a terrible position. Do you negotiate with terrorists to protect student privacy, or do you stand your ground and risk 3.65 terabytes of internal communications hitting the dark web?
Given the May 12th deadline, we are going to see the fallout of this very soon. For now, Canvas is back online, but the trust in these centralized platforms has definitely taken a hit.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up today's briefing.
Sounds good. Let's get into the roundup.
First up, an interesting feature request over on the Claude Code GitHub repository. It's issue 57363, and users are asking for a UI panel to show pending Git changes.
Yeah, they essentially want a source control panel directly in the terminal, similar to what you'd see in VS Code or JetBrains. They want a flat list of staged, unstaged, and untracked files with their status.
It really highlights the tension with these new agentic CLI tools. Developers want the speed of the terminal, but they are clearly uncomfortable letting an AI manage Git commits without the rich visual feedback of a traditional IDE.
Exactly. Blindly trusting an agent to manage your codebase is risky, and developers want that visual safety net back.
Next, following up on the copy.fail vulnerability we discussed last week, author Z. Iaso has published a blog post recommending a one-week moratorium on installing new software.
It's a dramatic step, but it's driven by the disclosure of new Linux kernel vulnerabilities, including one called Dirty Frag. The fear here is supply chain attacks.
Right. Periods of high-profile vulnerability disclosures create chaos, which is the perfect cover for attackers to inject malicious code into package managers like NPM.
It's a tough balance for developers right now. You need to apply necessary security patches, but pulling down entirely new packages during this window is incredibly risky.
Finally, Poland's economy has officially surpassed the $1 trillion nominal GDP mark in 2025. It's a huge milestone. Their GDP per capita, adjusted for cost of living, has reached 85% of the EU average. Just to put that in perspective, it was only 38% back in 1990.
The growth is undeniable, and it's earned them an invitation as a guest to the 2026 G20 summit in Miami. Though, interestingly, IMF figures show Switzerland's economy is still slightly larger, keeping Poland just outside the official top 20.
Still, it's a massive shift in European economic power, and they are clearly leveraging it to push for a permanent seat at the G20 table.
That is all for today's briefing. Thanks for tuning in.
We will be back tomorrow with more updates on the tech stories you need to know.
Stay safe out there, and maybe hold off on that NPM install for a few more days. Catch you next time.